Yo, what's good? It's everybody's favorite brother, Oso Dave B. Look, I just want to give a full disclaimer. The episode you're about to hear, the quality is not its best. You see, me and my brother, we have really busy schedules and we try to squeeze this in. And at the time of recording that episode, I was actually driving. So I apologize in advance that the quality isn't its best, but the content is still there. I hope y'all enjoy listening.
Yo, brother, was good.
Man, you know I'm here chilling, sipping on a little something nice. What you got going on, man?
Man, I'm cooling right now, man. Ready to get back to business, man. We got away for a minute, but we promise, yo, we're going to do better 2019. It's a new year. Happy New Year, bro.
Man, happy New Year, man. You know, people get busy, man. We've been on our grind, so it ain't like we out here wasting time, but we definitely got to get right. And I'm saying keep these episodes consistent, you heard?
That's a fact. That's definitely part of the goal of 2019. We're going to be on it. That's a fact. What's good with you, man? How you living? What's new?
Oh, man, you know, only thing that's really, you know, new around these days is my boys, you know, exited out the playoffs.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about it. Yes, sir. Let's talk about it.
I think one thing that did happen was we got caught off guard, man. I think we prepared for the pass, and they ran it down our necks. Although, I will give our defense this. We did bend, but we didn't break. You know, that score could have been pretty ugly in the first half of that game. So, even, you know, as bad as we played, even though I don't think we played bad, I would just say as far as the yards and stuff that we gave up and how many quick three and outs we had, we still had a chance to win the game. But, again, it's the playoffs, and when you're going to against a team like the Rams, you have to limit your mistakes or you have to score just as much as points as them, you know, and we were unable to do that. So we seen the exit, but, you know, it was a good year. I just think we had to – our offense had to do a little bit better job just creating some long drives. I mean, even if it came down to not scoring points on the drives, give the defense a breather because everybody was tired, you know. They tightened up once they got in the red zone, and they gave our offense, you know, a chance to win that game because it could have easily been a 40-point first half for the Rams, you know, the way they moved the ball. We held them to about 20, you know. So, with that being said, Linehan just got fired, too. Personally, I don't think Linehan was the issue. I think
– that's my next question. What's the correction for this year? For y'all, you know what I mean, to get past a team like the Rams?
I think Dak has to get better in the sense of, you know, limit his turnovers. He likes to hold on to the ball too long still. I see him still making some of the same mistakes game after game. And he has to throw a little bit better. The play calling, I'm not sure if they're going to find somebody that designs it more around him, a lot more read options, which I think for Dak would be good, you know, especially with Cooper over there, Zeke over there. You know, Beasley will probably end up leaving, but I like Michael Gallup, you know, and I think Tavon Austin needs some more touches. So I just think we have to find – I think we need to go to college for an offensive coordinator, honestly. I don't think we really need anybody in the league unless he's used to being in, like, a West Coast-type system to where it's 1-2 reads, the ball's out of your hand, or it's read option, you know, something like that.
That's interesting because a college coach, you know, they'll probably get a little bit more creative with the play schemes and the play calling and what they would like to do, but – right now, y'all run everything through Zeke, and that's worked for y'all. So you'll be going away from just a power run game if you bring in, like, one of those offensive coordinators, kind of like what they got down there in St. Louis. I mean, not St. Louis no more, but L.A. with the Rams. You know, they get creative with their play calling on offense.
Right, and they use Gurley in the passing game and the running game. We really don't use Zeke in our passing game like that. Right. There was a couple games to where we did, and we won those games, but for some reason we tend to go away from it. So I think with a balanced attack, we can still run it through Zeke. I definitely believe we should. But I think when we go the more read option route, spread them out route, and even leave Zeke in the backfield sometimes, it makes Dax like reads and his decisions a lot easier, because he's really not good at the seven step dropbacks, because he'll still hold on to the ball, you know, and that's what I don't like. And he'll have a game where he'll use his legs, and then he'll have a game like the Rams game where he wouldn't. And there were plenty of times where he should have, you know what I'm saying, and could have got first downs by using his legs, but he chose the pass. So I don't know if he was a little bit nervous for that game, because, you know, he threw a lot of passes behind the receivers, but just the offense as a whole, we have to be way more creative. And I found it funny, after Linehan got fired, Dez tweeted Kermit sipping the tea. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I had the debate last year. Right. I'm like, you know, Dez isn't, you know what I'm saying, the issue is just Linehan knows Dak is limited to what he can do. He can't really throw nobody open. So it's like, I can't really expand this playbook like I would do with a Romo. I have to keep it, you know, kind of simple. So, I mean, I think he'll go somewhere else and do an amazing job. But Dak just needs one of those offensive coordinators who's real heavy on the read option, quick throws, and we'll see what happens from there. But, I mean, Jason Garrett should have been gone.
Well, at least you got to watch your team in the playoffs, okay? I'm not even going to go deep into what happened with my team. A real true debacle. Wow. As we start at 6-2 and then go on a 7-game losing streak. I think we finished it like one out of your last eight,
man.
Yeah, wow.
One out of your last eight. I do have a question for you, though.
Shoot, bro.
A report came up. You know, I happen to be chilling. Report came up. The GM, you know, is thinking about having Cam sit for the 2019-2020 season. How do you feel about that?
Shoot. Well, see, you know what? It ties into what I said before when I saw Cam was hurt. I don't know how I feel about that. I say this. I feel skeptical on that, because I personally feel like if you're questioning it, if you really think that shoulder's a problem, then trade him. See what you can get for him. Because during that 6-2 run, Cam was balling. I mean, they had discussions of him being MVP. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just at least being in the running. You probably wouldn't want it for sure, but being in the conversation.
I had him up there. So, I had him in the conversation too.
Yeah. So, but to now you talking about just sitting him, and then this shoulder injury possibly lingering, and then after you sit him for a season, forget about trading him. That's over. And then I think his contract will be coming up after that anyways. So you sat him for no reason, really, and then now his contract's up. What are you going to do with his expiring contract? So I feel like right now, while there's a lot of unknown, there'll be some teams to sniff at the thought of trading for Cam if you put the bait out there and say, like, yo, we're thinking about shipping him. Because right now we don't know how severe that shoulder injury is. They're even saying that he's probably not going to need surgery. You know what I'm saying? So that's numbing it down. So if there's a few teams out there, maybe like the Buffalo Bills.
Honestly,
I don't know.
I think the Bills have their future quarterback, Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah, Josh Allen. Yeah, he did start.
It's been impressive.
Up. That's a fact.
But I think my personal opinion.
Miami will be a good spot for him. I mean, teams that could use a quarterback.
Yeah, Miami definitely.
They might be over the Tannehill experience.
They need to.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think of the other teams right now that's really in the hunt for a quarterback. I don't.
I mean, Tampa Bay needs a quarterback, but I don't know how well he'll fit over there.
I think. That would be actually a perfect fit for him. I just don't know if they'll bring him in there with Jameis there.
I think.
Yeah, he'll need a running back. Yeah. But they got some. They got some pretty good picks.
It's not too many other teams because, I mean, I heard the Raiders are thinking about trading Carr.
Yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of these other teams pretty much already have their, you know, future, quote unquote, future quarterback in place. You even look at Baltimore. I think they're going to fully go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, and ride the wave with Lamar and get him ready.
Yeah, that's a fact.
To take over. So it's, I mean, hell, the Giants. To be completely honest,
yeah, that's very true. That would be interesting.
I think that would be huge if the Giants were to make that offer. The only thing I think would scare teams away is that they came out with that report saying that they want to sit him. Yeah. They're thinking about sitting him because if you look at this is Cam's eighth year. If you sit him for his ninth year, he's coming back. This is his tenth year, so. It's like, is he actually going to get better or is he pretty much going to stay the same or even, you know, decline a little bit?
You know how much I'm of a Cam fan I am. Right. So for me to go down to the avenue and say, let's trade him, it really does worry me because this shoulder injury, even if it's just, let's say he comes back and he's like 80%. The issue with it is Cam never threw from his legs. He'd use no lower body when in his throwing, right? In his throwing motion or nothing. Right. So he always relied on upper body strength. So now you're telling me that he don't even have the same strength that he had before. And to add on to it is he takes more hits than most quarterbacks because of the fact that he runs. So you risk the possibility of him taking a hit to that shoulder even more. But you know what I mean? It's not like a Drew Brees who's been in that injury. But he doesn't take those type of hits that Cam does. So I don't know. So, like I'm almost at the point to move on from. I hope that they keep looking at the shoulder situation closely. But I don't know. A lot of signs are pointing that Cam might be out of Carolina. To be honest with you, that's what signs are pointing for me.
I think that'll be the best option. I mean. I'll have to look up. I don't know exactly what number in the draft you guys have.
Like 16, bro. Dead in the middle. Ridiculous.
Man.
Winning that last game, bro, moved us from, I think, 9 to 16. That's crazy.
And I really didn't understand that. I really didn't. Because
that's crazy.
I don't think your organization believes in any quarterback on your roster. At this moment, let's just say we move Cam. Let's just say Cam goes elsewhere or Cam's out next. I don't think nobody else on that roster they believe in. So I think they would look to get somebody else. And I mean, looking at this year's college draft with quarterbacks, I just don't see the talent there. And I think the couple quarterbacks that are gonna go, they're gonna go early. And
yeah.
Haskins, I don't think is that good. I like Greer. Clemson quarterback already said he's staying. It really ain't nobody else. I really want to take a chance on Kyler Murray because I don't really see him being a quarterback too long.
When I first saw Cam was hurt and everything, and I knew that we had a possibility of drafting in the top 10, I was like, yo, for sure we're going to draft Greer. And he's from Charlotte.
I like Greer.
I thought for sure that's what was going to happen. But I don't know, man.
16 is – I mean, unless you guys trade up, unless that's your move. Cam is your
Or even – yeah, up. If you trade. Yep, exactly.
And actually, so, Arizona is talking about trading Rosen.
That's a desperate. Oh, no. Their quarterback got hurt, though. No.
No, they like – they have Rosen right now. But – okay. Reports came out saying that they might trade him. So it's clear they're not moving in the Rosen direction. So I think, depending on what happens with Cam, if something comes out to say, you know, he doesn't need to sit out a year or whatever, that may be a team who's interested, because with the Rams and Seattle over there, let's just be real, the Cardinals are not going to be at the top of that division anytime soon.
No time soon.
No time soon. And San Fran, they'll have their players coming back. They'll have Jimmy G. They'll have McKinnon coming back.
Yep.
So they'll look completely different.
So yeah,
that'll be something interesting to watch, man. But, you know, another big thing happened. You know, how about you Cuse boys taking out Duke, man?
Hey, I'm still riding that way. I don't even want to – tomorrow we got Pittsburgh, and I'm not even looking forward to the game. I want to continue to ride this victory over Duke. And you know what? Living in Carolinas, man, that was real lovely being able to troll that this for these last couple of days.
Man,
but, yeah, that was interesting. Win. That was a nice win. I mean, we still didn't get ranked off it, but, you know, that's our own fault. We lost a lot of unnecessary games. But Duke, man, they had all these high expectations, and – They're showing that they can be beaten.
Oh, absolutely. And my boy Deshaun, you know, actually from on the dotted line, he had Duke going undefeated national championship, not losing a single game. Clearly, you know, that's been put to a stop.
They playing right now, right? Oh no, that game's over. What happened? Did they win tonight?
Did they play? No. They didn't play tonight. They have, I believe, Virginia tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. That's going to be a good game. Great game.
They got Virginia tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Right now, they got Duke favored by 2 points. Virginia's ranked number 4. They're 16-0. Duke somehow stays number 1, which is a joke to me. They're 14-2.
After they lost to us, they still number 1.
Still number 1. And
Michigan,
they just survived Florida State. I don't know how Florida State let Cam Reddish get wide open on the last play of the game after being up 1 point. And for a 3-pointer, he's one of the best shooters in college basketball. So they ended up blowing it with a couple seconds left. Or they would be on a 2-game losing streak right now. But they survived that game, and then they lost to Syracuse. So they're 14-2, and somehow they remained at number 1. But,
that's crazy to think about that. And what Michigan's doing right now is pretty damn impressive. I guess maybe they're trying to look at the resumes and the teams that Duke has played thus far. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Duke has had one of the more challenging schedules out there. But, no, I mean, even to that point, Michigan's played some teams, too.
Michigan has played – I'm going to look to see ranked teams. They beat Villanova. Well, they killed Villanova, and Villanova was number 8. They beat Villanova 73-46. They beat North Carolina by damn near 20 points. You know, that's my team, but we're just going to push that to the side. Purdue was ranked. They beat them by damn near 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been crushing people. They beat Indiana, which was ranked. They beat them by 11. They play Indiana, who's ranked 25, the 25th of January. So, I mean, they've put together wins to beat number 1.
That's a fact.
And Duke has lost to, I believe, 2 unranked teams. But let me confirm that really quick. They lost to Cuse. And their other loss came. Let me find it.
Michigan.
They lost to Gonzaga.
Gonzaga
was number 3, and they were number 1.
Yeah.
So that loss, I wouldn't say it's too bad, but you did lose to Syracuse. I think at that point, you cannot stay at number 1.
Yeah,
and Syracuse has 5 losses.
That just goes to show, man. The AP is a joke, bro. Those polls, the way they come up with it, is a joke, and there's so much favoritism that comes into play with it. It's unreal.
It's sad, you know. So as long as you're a good coach and you got Zion Williamson on your team, they're going to do whatever they can to keep you at that number one spot. But, you know, honestly, I hope Virginia comes out and wins this game. I really do.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to seeing that. If you want, let's switch it up from the sports, man. There's something else going on that everybody's talking about right now, and that's Big Soldier. Big Draco.
Soldier boy, tell him.
Yo, my man is on a roll right now. I find it hilarious, personally. A lot of people getting all bent out of shape. You know what I'm saying? He's being loud, his antics. Feel like he's trolling. He probably is taking a little bit of the Tekashi 6ix9ine route by just being loud and extra. But that's clickbait, bro. I heard that sales went up in that little console that he's selling since he's done the Breakfast Club interview. It's pretty smart marketing. I think it's smart. And it's not like the man said a whole lot of crazy things that were, you know what I mean, just unreal or whatever.
He really didn't. I mean, if you look at when he came out, he was the one who was using, you know, social media and the internet to get big before he signed the deal.
That's a fact.
I mean, people pay attention to the antics and things like that. But, you know, and just ignoring exactly what he's saying. Just like he said, Drake stole, you know, his flow and his lyrics from the song. And people got to realize, like, I'm sorry, Drake fans. Y'all got to realize Drake has stolen a lot of shit. Drake has stolen a lot of shit. But because he's the bigger celebrity and the bigger, you know, star.
Yeah.
People are giving him a pass for it, you know. So it's like you gotta stop. And people are so quick to pay attention to how a person's acting, even like Orlando Brown. Like Orlando Brown has said a lot of real things, but because of his background and because of the way he acts, and even Jaden Smith, like we get caught up and we start paying attention to the wrong thing. Everybody wants to have the biggest meme, be the funniest comment and things like that. But once you mention like a Drake or Jay-Z, just for example, just to throw a name out there, or even Kanye, hey, now it's, oh, you're bugging, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even when Kanye made his statement about slavery was a choice, da-da-da, if you really pay attention to what's going on right now, you got people literally working for free, bro.
Oh, that's a fact.
But nobody's mentioning that. But we're going to save that topic for, you know what I'm saying, for another segment. But that just goes to show you people are so quick to say this person's crazy because they show emotion. And forget about how they're saying it. You know what I'm saying? Just listen to what they're saying and do your research.
Right. Right. It's all about content at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Always. People neglect that part. And that's crazy. What else we got going on in 2019, man? What's hot in the news? R. Kelly? You kept up on that?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, bro. Man, when that whole series dropped, me personally, I changed it after like 5 minutes, and it wasn't so much because of like the women and things that were on there. Like, let's just be real. The whole situation when R. Kelly came out and peed on the girl, I don't even know how many years ago. If you didn't decide to turn your back on that man then, if you still rocked with his music and Dave Chappelle did skits on it and everybody had their jokes, da da da, it was all cool. If you needed a television network to put out a series on it to make your mind up, like, stop it. Like, stop it. And let me be clear, I'm not condoning anything that he did whatsoever. I'm not condoning none of that. What I'm saying is, keep the same energy, because how many pastors and politicians have been accused of like just sickening type of charges and y'all still going to church? You know what I'm saying? Y'all still going to church. Y'all not saying nothing about them, but let it be.
Well, I would say this to that point.
Okay.
And I know this is a whole nother conversation, but
right.
When it comes to like the pastors and stuff like that, people, if you really are following and practicing your religion, you shouldn't be following no man anyways. You're supposed to be following God, the word of God, or whatever it is that they preaching, whatever God that they preaching of. That's what you're supposed to be following. So for me, I could be a little bit more forgiving if the pastor, the man that's delivering the word, has some skeptical stuff going on, situations, because that man's human. I'm not modeling myself after that man. I may not agree or you know what I'm saying, with what he's doing, but brother, at the end of the day, give me the word that I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, the word.
Right.
So that's how I feel when it comes to whoever's delivering the message and if they answer questions. So it's just like a teacher, bro. If you got a teacher who's a good teacher, who could teach you well, but we find out that this man is doing coke on his free time. I don't care about that, brother. The man's a good teacher. He's a good teacher. I got nothing to do with that. I came here to learn something. The Lord, that man's been teaching me to learn, and he's been on coke.
But
that's that man's business.
But if instead of coke, let's say he's into the whole pedophile thing, how would you feel?
Oh, that's different, bro.
That's the type of charges these pastors, like these people, are being brought up with. Drug addiction, well, and things like that. Listen, do what you do on your free time. I'm with you. I agree with you on that. Do what you do on your free time.
Anything that has to do with pedophile shit or underage kids, like that shit, that's in a whole nother bracket, bro. Like that's the trump card. There's no exception to that one.
Zero.
Anything else, we could bring the conversation and maybe make a case for it. But that one has zero. Yeah.
Right.
I, you know, my moms and all them, like they grew up Catholic. I got that shit real quick. All them niggas can't accuse the little boys and all that. Like, I want no part of this. But let that real quick.
Bro, it's crazy, man. It's really crazy. And another thing that I really didn't like, and I'm not gonna go too crazy into it, because we could definitely, you know, we could talk about this for a minute. But the other thing I didn't like when the whole R. Kelly thing was brought up, it's like, okay, now, Jay-Z was messing with this person at this age, and now this person. It's like, we fed into that shit, and Nick Cannon did an interview with Dame Dash.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
And I think Nick Cannon was real, like, I lost respect for Nick Cannon on this one. Because Dame Dash, because I watch a lot of Dame videos, and from what I see, because of course we don't know him personally, from what I see, he doesn't really care about things that don't concern him. So with Nick Cannon, he was trying to question him, like, all right, so with the whole Jay-Z and Aaliyah situation. And automatically, Dame is like, nah, that don't have nothing to do with me. You ask Jay them questions. But Nick Cannon is kind of like pressing him to, you know what I'm saying, trying to answer that. So yeah. To me, that's kind of corny. It's like, why are you trying to bring up a situation?
Well, no, but what happened though, Nick, yeah, they were both corny though on that, to be honest. I don't even give Dame any slack, because Nick started to ask a question, and then Dame was like, Nah, don't. He's like, what did he say? He's like, I'm not here for that. And he said, no, you know what? Go ahead. What? Like, Dame baited him to ask. Dame was like, what? Go ahead. You want to go there? Go there. Let's go there. And then when he asked the question, Dame was like, nah, you got to ask Jake about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what's crazy is, I don't even think Nick Cannon said Jay-Z.
He
said it? Okay, yeah, he might have said it.
Yeah, he said it, and that's the thing, like, And before that, if I don't know if he said Jay's name before that for the setup, Dame was probably just on some. I'm not here to talk about that, because even the other interviews, when people start asking him questions about other dudes, he'd be like, "Yo, I'm not here to talk about dudes." You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
So he could have been like, "Yo, you know what? What you got to ask me?" And once he seen it wasn't nothing that involved him, because a lot of these interviewers try to ask him questions about Jay-Z for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's always like, "Yo, why don't y'all ask this man this?" Now, if it's something that involves Jay-Z, but he was a part of it also, like he had something to do with, then he'll answer that question. You know what I'm saying? But when it has nothing to do with him, but they're asking him just because they know the relationship him and Jay had, he like, "Nah, that don't have nothing to do with me." And Nick Cannon, the one to always try to come to people's defense, like when he tried to come to Kevin Hart's defense, when he brought up old tweets from, I can't think of their names, the old racist tweets. It was two white women he brought up tweets from, because what they did with the whole Oscar situation or whatever, whatever Kevin Hart was going to host, when they brought up the racist tweets, and he said he wasn't apologizing, then he apologized, and he said he thought about doing it again, da-da-da. It was whack. He tried to come to his defense on some "I'm standing up for my people" type of deal. So to get Dame in there and then try to bring, like, that R. Kelly shit had nothing to do with nobody but R. Kelly. Why are you even trying to bring up a Hov and Aaliyah type situation? So that's what I just found that kind of whack. But the whole R. Kelly thing, like, man, we knew what type of person R. Kelly was. And we decided to listen to his music. And a lot of people are like, "You can't separate the music from the man," and da-da-da. You know, and that's their opinion. They're way more entitled to have it.
But it's crazy, because now it's like we reflect and we really listen to the words. Like, it's crazy. He really was preaching what he's doing, this sick lifestyle that he was living.
And it's very possible, because there was a video that surfaced of one of his, I believe his ex-wife. I forgot her name. It might have been like Erica. I want to say it was Erica. She posted a video, and it was either his ex-wife or somebody he had a baby with. One of the two. She was with whatever new dude, you know what I'm saying, she was rocking with, but she was in the car bumping R. Kelly. But when you look at the TV thing, she was on there crying and, "Oh, he did this." And you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, stop it. It was one of them situations. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
And that's another thing. Oh, man. I know we're about to go over our time, but I'll say this real quick. I hope these girls from that documentary, everybody's being honest and truthful, because there's no doubt, I feel like there's no doubt that R. Kelly is a sick individual who's got a problem. But if any of these girls' stories were fabricated in any way and we find out about it, it's going to like really cloud the whole story. And I don't want it to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, R. Kelly should be held accountable for what he's doing. But if people are lying and twisting the story and not being, you know what I'm saying, being extra about it, then it's going to just cloud the situation. And that's not what we want. We want to shine light on the situation. We don't want to dim it with, you know what I mean, fabrications and stuff. And I felt like there was a few stories in it that just didn't really make sense to me. And I just hope that, you know, these girls weren't being extra and, you know, twisting the story up in any way.
Right. I hope, man. I hope you can't be that devilish to do something to go out on TV and make up a story that really didn't happen. That's a different type of crazy.
And it'd be like the little parts too, because I feel like the big, like, we know what he is, you know, as like a sexual predator. That's a given. But, you know, if you're making up, I don't know, you know what I'm saying, allegedly, like they're saying, like, you know, him putting his hands on them or keeping away from their family, stuff like that. Like, if any of those, like, if every woman didn't go through that, maybe he did that to, like, one or two girls. But then another girl wants to say, "Oh, yeah, he did it to me, too, just to be part of that." You get what I'm saying? Like, I hope it ain't one of them type of situations. But either way, man, the man is a sick individual. So for the sexual predator and stuff, and the underage girls, like,
yeah, that's, it, the shit's that's not good. Man. That's not good at all. At all. But,
But we, you know, we chop it up about little things, man. We definitely got a lot more topics to get into, but we're gonna try to keep these. Yo, how many times have we went over an hour and a half with the conversations, man? So
right,
we try to limit that. We're gonna try to keep it short, and that way we give y'all more content for sure.
Absolutely, it's so much to be discussed, man.
We're gonna get into it though, cause this is Ain't No Telling. I'm your boy, Oso Dave B.
I'm your boy, D.A. The Realist.
Yo, we out of here, and we're going to be back again with y'all.
Already.
All right, bro. Yes, B.
Sir.